Despite demands that President Arisi step down, he has refused, and government leaders say they won't buckle under opposition pressure to push a democratically elected government from power. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Cody Emmanuel, with assistance from Simba Rumsa.
You've been listening to Free Speech Radio News. You can go to our website for an archive of the newscast, www.fsrn.org. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
Free Speech Radio News is made possible in part by an underwriting grant from the graduate student organization at Stony Brook University. This edition of Free Speech Radio News will be rebroadcast tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. here at WUSB Stony Brook.
Where the time is exactly 6 o'clock. And yes, we're back. Off the Wall returns.
The subscriber's request, this phone does not accept incoming calls. Message NY0958. At the subscriber's request, this phone does not accept incoming calls. Message NY0958.
Yes, that's the sad casualty of my recent trip overseas. My phone's gone. And I had to turn it off. I had to turn it off temporarily while I find a new one. But you know, that's the only bad thing that happened. That's the only bad thing that happened the whole time I was away. Well, to me, anyway. And it was my own fault, too. I dropped the phone on the ground in Amsterdam, and it I don't think it even hit the ground before somebody caught it and started making phone calls to sex lines. Yes. Through the miracle of online bill looking at, I was able to see that certain phone numbers were called, and I asked some friends of mine over there what these numbers were, and they were very familiar with them. They had heard of these numbers. They cost a huge amount of money. So now I have to work out this whole deal with the phone company to get them taken off my bill. But never mind. That's a piddling detail. It doesn't matter. My own fault. I dropped the phone. Shouldn't drop phones, you know? Those days are over. You can't do that anymore. And I'll get a new one. I'll have a number turned back on, and everything will be fine. Everything will be happy. But boy, I can't believe it. You know, I just dropped the damn thing, and somebody, just makes me want to. Well, anyway, yeah, it's great to be back. It's great to be away too. It's great to be moving around and seeing other things, and just being inspired by different cultures, different people, different scenery. And if you haven't done that yourself, you have to figure out a way to do it, because you will go insane otherwise. You will go insane. And I can prove it, too. I can prove it because I can walk around and point to people who have not gone away, and I can point out how they're insane, how they're losing their minds, how they're miserable. And yes, I count myself among those people when I don't go away enough and liven up life. You know, I'll give you an example. Whenever I travel, I somehow fall into a schedule that's remotely human. You know, before I went away, you know what time I was going to sleep? Do you know what time I was going? Well, let's start with what time I was waking up. If I woke up before the sun set, it was a miracle. And you know, when you wake up when the sun is already down, that's sort of a negative way to start the day, you know? And it's a hard thing to get out of. Of course, I do a lot of work at night, you know? That's when people aren't around to distract you so you can do more. But there's a price to pay for that. And after a while, it turns into not being able to fall asleep unless the sun's coming up, which is really a bizarre way to live. When you travel, though, you have all this activity, you have all this moving around, you have all this exploring and seeing new sights and being excited by things. So that when nighttime rolls around, when late night rolls around, you're tired. You actually are tired, and you actually are able to conk out and wake up in the morning. And that's what I've been doing ever since I got back, waking up in the morning. Yeah, we all know it's not going to last longer than a couple of weeks. I'll be back to my old ridiculous schedule. But I'm just trying to point out that it's a healthy thing. When you get away, when you start doing things differently, you lose some bad habits, and that's a good thing to do. So, yeah, I've been spending the last couple of weeks. It wasn't really that long, actually. Just a couple of weeks. I know for most people that is long, which is pathetic. You should be able to get away for a couple of weeks if you want. So many people are slaves, you know. They have to be at the workplace 5, even 6 days a week. If they're lucky, they get 2 weeks off in the whole year. It's no way to live. But I went over for the Chaos Communications Congress, which is a computer hacker gathering. It's been going on since 1984. It takes place in Berlin. An amazing city. Great place to wander around and just find all kinds of new things. Every time I go there, I find something new. I never repeat what I do. This time, I walked on top of the Reichstag for the first time. And that's an incredibly nice-looking building. Free admission. Imagine that. Imagine being able to walk into a building in Washington, D.C. and just walk to the very top for free. I don't know. I don't think it's possible. And I don't think it's something that is encouraged these days either, which is also very sad. And we kept coming back to that. The people I was traveling with, the people I was visiting over there, I kept coming back to how sad things are getting over here. How everyone's always nervous, you know? We were at orange the whole time. Of course, that's all anybody can talk about. Yeah, the country's at orange. I mean, I'm still laughing at the fact that people can walk around saying the country's at orange. But fewer people are. You know, more people are saying, yeah, we're at orange. You could ask people on the street, what color are we? And they will answer you now. And I have a feeling if the day ever comes when we go below yellow, do you know what's below yellow? Blue is below yellow. And below blue is green. We're never going to see green. But if we one day see blue, there are going to be celebrations. Celebrations in the street. Parties. All-night discos. You know, all kinds of things. Because people will be happy that we're blue. And you have to take a step back to realize that we've all gone completely insane. To actually believe in this garbage, to actually take this garbage seriously, to actually have somebody say, yes, we're yellow, and not slap them across the face. We've lost something of our minds if we allow this kind of thing to continue. And sometimes you have to get away just to be able to make that realization. See how the rest of the world lives, see how sane other people can be. Third year in a row I was in Amsterdam for New Year's. And if you haven't heard me rant on about this before, I'll make it quick this time. Basically what people do at New Year's Eve is they gather in various squares in Amsterdam. Mobs of people. And they shoot off fireworks. Big fireworks. You know, really M-80 type things. And they shoot things up into the air. And it's very noisy, very loud, very scary. If you're an American or if you're somebody that has come from a war-torn state, I can imagine this would be a very traumatic experience. But for the people over there, where relaxation is a middle name, they're completely unfazed. You have mortar rounds going off right next to you. You know, people standing a foot away are firing surface-to-air missiles into the sky in jubilation, and everyone's just going about their business. And that's a reawakening. It's a hard word to say. Yeah. It's that and more. And that's why I try to get as many people as possible to go over to see this. So I just wonder how much longer it can go on for before the craziness that is over here spreads everywhere. Okay, well, we're back for another edition of Off the Wall, the weekly program where we look at the world and try to make it all Makes sense. No pictures today on the radio. We stole some leftover pictures from my previous trip, the six-week sojourn to Eastern Europe. And I didn't take pictures this time. Yeah, I can sense the relief. Okay, no, I didn't take my camera this time for a variety of reasons. And it's probably a good thing, too, because the pocket that my phone fell out of would have been the pocket the camera was in. So I probably would have somebody calling sex lines on my camera if I had brought it with me. So it's a blessing in disguise. Also, another blessing in disguise, I guess, is that while we haven't had our Tommy Chong tribute in a number of weeks, what that means, though, is that we have an extra long Tommy Chong tribute tonight. This kind of worked out that way. What we have tonight, we might as well just play this now, because then we can talk some more, take some phone calls, maybe open up the phone lines at about 631-632-WUSB. But what we have here is a very special Cheech and Chong episode tonight. This one is actually kind of a medley of people doing, what do you think? Watching TV. Yeah, watching TV. That's one of the best sketches I think they've done in a while, actually. A while. This was 1978 this came out. So you'll hear a couple of characters, one of which is Tommy Chong, see if you can guess which one. Watching television. And, of course, the people on the television are Cheech and Chong as well. And you can hear them commenting on the television while they're watching it. So there's four of them or something altogether. And, of course, why are we doing this? Because Tommy Chong is currently languishing in prison for selling bongs on the Internet. I saw a lot of bongs where I went. I saw people selling bongs. I saw people using bongs. Find out if I used a bong after this.
Hey, man, where you been all day, man? I had trouble getting you on the phone, man.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, man, I don't even have a phone.
Oh, well, that's probably why I had trouble getting you then, man. Hey, what you doing, man?
Just watching TV, man.
Watching TV? What are you watching, man?
I don't know. It's a movie about Indians, but it's really boring, man.
Hey, man, that's not a movie, man. That's a test pattern, man.
Oh, far out.
Hey, well, let me change it, man. Hey, there's a good war movie on Six, man. Oh, man, it's a horror movie, man.
A horror movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, is that Jane Fonda?
No, not that kind of scary one, you know.
They are killing the girl tonight, old man.
Oh, no.
Did you hear that, old man? They are killing the girl tonight. You can save her. Just sign the papers, old man.
I cannot sign the papers.
You cannot sign the papers, old man. Old man, look at me. Making me lose my temper. Calm down, old man. Just calm down. Oh, would you like a cigarette, old man? How about this one?
He stuck it in his eye,
old man.
Man.
Now, old man, sign the papers.
What do the papers say?
They are merely a statement saying you have not been mistreated while you have been here.
I am not tiny papers.
And why cannot you send the papers?
Because you have broken both of my hands.
Oh, wow, man. Is that movie a bummer, man? Hey, let's find something else, man. I think I love Lucy's song.
Hi there, friends. Lost your job? Wife just left you? Has your daughter run off with a rock musician? Are you tired of war, smog, and inflation? Is life just one big bummer and you feel like ending it all? Well, the Empire Hancock Building might be just the place you've been looking for. Conveniently located in the heart of the business district, the Empire Hancock Building stretches 100 stories straight up in the air to ensure its no-miss policy. 6 diving boards means there's never any wait at the Empire Hancock Building, and of course, plenty of free parking with validation. The Easy on the Pocketbook $10 service charge includes your last meal at our revolving restaurant at the top of the tower, last-minute counseling by a clergyman of your faith, and, as an extra added bonus, splatterproof plastic bags with your initials on them for easy identification. So don't delay. Take that big jump today at the Empire Hancock Building.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show, Let's Make a Dope Deal. Yes, Let's Make a Dope Deal, where young pushers try to parlay their stash into that really big connection and jump up into dealerhood. And our first contestant today on Let's Make a Dope Deal is former head of the philosophy department at Harvard University. He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides. Would you please give a big warm welcome for Bob Bitchin? Come on, let's have a hammer, Bob Bitchin. Here he is all the way from Harvard, Bob Bitchin. Well, it's really great to have you on the show tonight, Bob. How you doing?
Bitchin'.
Well, isn't that far out and solid and right on, Bob. Tell us, Bob, here's the question I ask of all our contestants. What made you drop out?
Well, a lot of people think it was the 400 acid trips they took, you know.
Uh-huh, but what was it really, Bob?
One day I played Black Sabbath at 78 speed, man.
And then what happened?
I saw God.
You saw God. Well, that sounds like true enlightenment to me,
yeah,
Bob.
Tell us,
Bob, what have you been doing with all those degrees? I noticed you had a PhD, an MA, and a BA. What have you been doing with all that knowledge?
Making candles, man.
Making candles. Well, that sounds creative, Bob. What kind of candles are they?
Oh, they're really neat table candles, you know.
Table candles?
Yeah, you pour wax on a table.
Uh-huh.
And you set it on fire, man.
Well, that sounds like a hot item, Bob. Okay, you ready to play our game?
Yeah, man.
Okay, here we go. Now, you know the rules. You get fronted with a stash of 50 keys, and you can wager part of them or just some of them on any one of our tests.
50 keys?
50 keys.
Can I quit now?
No, not yet, Bob. You have to play our game. Okay, Bob, how many you want to wager on the first test?
All of them.
All of them. He's going to shoot the works, our mainline, as we call it here on Let's Make a Dope Deal. Okay, Bob, for 50 keys, what is your name? You have 60 seconds.
Hey, I know that one, man.
Starts with a B.
Father, what is it?
I knew it when I came in here, man.
M's with a B.
No, don't tell me. Happy birthday.
10 seconds, Bob.
Bob!
And you win 50 keys for the tension's found here on Let's Make a Dope Deal.
How you get on?
Oh, boy, Bob, now you have 100 keys. Almost it. Okay, here we go for the second plateau. How many keys do you want to wager this time?
All of them.
All of them is going to shoot the works again, huh? What balls he has. Okay, here we go, Bob. For another 100 keys. How many joints are in a lid? 30 seconds.
Oh, I know that one.
Two.
Okay. Two?
Yeah, I roll big joints.
Our judges say that's okay. They roll big joints too. And you win another 100 keys. Boy, the pressure's building. Here we go, Bob. Okay. Okay, now we're going for the big and final test. Okay, in front of you, you see three doors marked door number one, door number two, and door number three. Behind one of those doors, Bob, is 50 pounds of Lebanese blonde hash. Makes your eyes red just thinking about them, huh? Okay, Bob, I'm gonna make you do it. I'll give you $50 and 50 reds for your keys right now.
Oh, take the reds.
No, I'll give you $1,000 and 50 reds.
I want the hash.
He wants the hash. Okay, Bob, here we go. Now I must remind you that behind the other two doors are narcs. Okay, Bob, here we go. What'll it be? Will it be door number one, door number two, or
what?
Narcs. There's two narcs behind the other.
I'll take the bread, man.
I'm sorry, Bob. It's too late. You have to choose. What'll it be? One, two, or three?
Number three.
Four. No, Bob. He's only three. I know. You're nervous. Okay. One, two, or three?
Two, one.
Two, one.
Number three, man. Number three.
One, two.
three, two, one. Oh, let go.
What's he doing?
One. Black light, no tap backs. Okay. You chose door number one. Let's see what's behind that door. It's Officer O'Malley, the FBI. You're busted. Join us next week when we play Let's Make a Dope Deal.
What happened, man?
Oh, I messed up, man.
And don't touch that dial because we're going to bring you America's favorite daytime dance party show, An American Bandstand, with your host, Laid Back Lenny. And Lenny will be out here to introduce all the heavy, heavy groups. But first, here's a word from our sponsor. Hey there, groovy guys. Got a big date tonight, but got a zit in the middle of your forehead. And I'm talking about the big juicy kind, you know? What's look like a third eye? Well, if they've been calling you Cyclops, don't get uptight. Because now there's new medicated hickey off pimple pads by Brillo. Hey.
You should get some of that.
Yeah,
man.
Hickey off just doesn't work on the surface, but goes right down and rips them out by the roots. And for those big moon-sized craters you're going to have in your head, well, we have new hickey off plastic filler. Hey. Comes complete with a putty knife and sandpaper and flesh tone paint for all the rough spots. So get it together with Hickey Off Pimple Pads and Filler. And now back to Un American Bandstand, where we have the winner of the Name the Three Songs contest we've been running all month. And that winner is from Second All, North Carolina, Chata Ortega. And Chata correctly identified the three most played songs in the history of the English language as Happy Birthday to You, Auld Lang Syne, and Inagada Da Vida. Hey.
Hey, Chata.
So, Chata, you're going to win that blind date with Stevie Wonder. Right arm.
That's really cool.
Okay, now it's time to turn the old microphone over to the most far-out, freakiest DJ in the USA. He has been backstage with the band for the last 3.5 days getting his head together, so I imagine he must be pretty well together right now. So would you please give a big warm welcome for Laid Back Lenny. Come on, let's hear for Laid Back Lenny. Here he is. Come on, let's really get him. Laid Back.
I would have taken the Reds, man.
That was our last show, man.
No, he touched the wrong door, you know.
Yeah, don't they know
what's that?
What's this, man?
Hey, the band's not gonna make it tonight, man.
The DJ, man, I saw
the singer
one
just had an accident. Poked himself in the eye with a Coke spoon. He can't get his eye closed, man. It's frozen open.
I've done that, man.
That's cool. Yeah, hey, listen, we got the winner of the How Many Downers You Can Drop contest.
Oh, who is that, man?
No, really. Cat's name is Harold Brown, and we're going
to
bury him Friday.
Oh, you used to be roommates with him, huh?
Want
to
bury him?
It's been a contest. We got last week's dance contest winner here. Come on out here, son.
Hey, but look, it's Juan, man.
What's your name, son?
Juan Motai, man. Okay.
He's got my shirt on.
Tell us, Juan, what school do you go to?
Richie Valens Junior High,
man.
Hi, Mr. Murphy.
What are you taking in school?
Metal shop, man. Yeah, majoring in roach clips.
That's great, Juan. And what grade are you in?
7th grade, man.
And how old are you?
36, man.
Thanks a lot, Juan.
He's a good
man. We're going to be back. We got a soul brother going to introduce the next act. But before we bring him out, we got a couple of public service announcements. Anybody having contact with Debbie Hempseed, go immediately to the free clinic.
Hey, man, ain't that your old lady, man?
Not anymore, man.
Take it from me. We got a soul brother here. He's a soul DJ. Comes to us from Soul Station ASOL. Would you please welcome the most right-on man in show business, Right On Washington.
Right on. Look here. This is Right On Washington. Say, we're going to get down for y'all because we got more soul. Right on. Look here. We got a heavy, heavy show for tonight. We got the fabulous Young Hearts going to sing the new hit, Ooh La Wee. I sure got a pee. They're going to run on out. Going to be heavy. Anybody celebrating anything out there tonight? Anybody celebrating anything? Like a job? Nobody got a job, man? I know times is bad, man. Yesterday I seen a pimp driving a Volkswagen, man.
Probably Clarence's brother, man.
Look here, like I said, we're gonna get down for y'all, cause remember, Tuesday night is hot pants night, Wednesday night is chilling night, and Thursday night is honky night. Right on, yeah. Bring yourself a honky, get your ass in free. Hey, right on. Make the honky pay for it. Look here. We got a heavyweight show, man. We're going to bring out this man here who is the king of the funk. He is so get-down funky, going to move in next door to him, and your lawn is going to die, you dig? Yeah, got boll weevils crawling all over him, man. He is the man with a hiss out. Happy, happy, black and nappy. Ain't too proud to bitch. And only my mama loves me, but she could be jiving too. Would you please welcome the most out-of-sight man in show business, Blind Melon Chili! Go! Let's get some Blind Melon Chili!
Hey,
turn it back to that Indian movie, man.
Oh, hey, man, let's just turn it off. Hey, the reason I was trying to get a hold of you all day, man, is I got a surprise for you.
Hey, what did you get me, man? A bong?
No. Look.
Oh, wow, man. Hey, that's the biggest joint I've ever seen, man. Yeah. Where'd you get it?
I came inside the new Cheech and Chong album, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what a far-out gimmick, man. Hey, they ought to sell a lot of records with that gimmick, boy.
Oh, well, you don't get the joint, man. You just get the papers to roll it in, man.
Hey, well, let's light it up, man.
Oh, this isn't real, man. I just filled it full of my old socks and stuff, man.
Oh, it sure looks real.
Yeah, don't it, man?
Hey, well, let's light it up anyway, man. You never know. Here, give it to me.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll light it for you. Hey, how is it, man?
It's not bad, man.
Hey, well, get me here, then.
No, it's not in there. I've looked everywhere. There's no joint in my Cheech and Chong record. Damn. You know, I think that probably only came in the vinyl version. And the 70s version. I don't think such things would be permitted today. Lousy CD. Anyway, that was our tribute to Tommy Chong tonight. Extra long because of the weeks that we missed, and we know that people need their fix, and we're happy to provide that. And if anyone out there can please let me know if Tommy Chong is released so that we don't continue doing this if it's not appropriate. I believe, though, he's in for a couple more months at least for selling bongs on the internet. But the real reason is because of humor like this. At least according to the judge, this is the kind of thing that the judge saw as mocking authority, glorifying drug use. And if Tommy had not been part of that, he probably would be able to sell bongs with impunity. Great world we live in, or great country we live in, actually, because I don't think this would happen in very many other places that call themselves civilized. Yeah, so that's where we stand as far as that goes. And did I use a bong? No, I did not use a bong when I was in Amsterdam. Not a bong. I gotta tell you, though, the coffee shops are really, really cool. You know, Americans go over there and they're very, you know, kind of uptight. They looking left and right, kind of sneaking around, saying, well, like, you know, is anybody gonna see me going into this place? And when you get into the place, basically, it's a place. It's just a hangout. It's a place where old and young and people from all different ethnicities hang out. And they just happen to be smoking marijuana and buying marijuana at the same time. And after a few minutes, like maybe 5 minutes, you realize how silly the whole thing is. Not the marijuana part, how silly the whole forbidden substance thing is. And it's really a great place. Even if you don't smoke anything, it's just a great place to hang out and relax. That's what it's all about, is relaxing. Getting over all these inhibitions and fears. Germany, the drinking age is 16. Can you imagine that? 16. A full 5 years below what the United States is. 21, for those of you who go to public schools. 5 year difference. And I don't see a significant amount of problems caused by that over there. Sure, they have problems, but you would think that if you did something that radical, there'd be mayhem, chaos. That's always what we're told. We can't do this, because if we do this, society will crumble. But you know what? It's not crumbling. In fact, I think they're doing better off over there. I'm not saying everybody who's 16 years old needs to be, you know, chugging a Molson or something. But when you make it into a big deal, then it turns into a big deal. And then those 16-year-olds who are doing that, the attitude is just completely wrong. And bad things tend to happen as a result of that. But boy, can you imagine? I mean, someone who's 20 years old is not mature enough to do what people in Germany are able to do at 16, according to our logic. Oh, you could go over to the army, you could go to Iraq and be shot at, but you can't drink alcohol. And you can never, never use a bong. What is going on here? You know, if you stick around and you don't go anywhere and you just sort of live your life out in your suburban Long Island home, you get used to it. I'm getting more used to it. I've only been back a week and I'm getting used to it already. You know, the same old nonsense. Yeah, we're at yellow now and this is the way things are. Doesn't have to be this way. And what a good year to say that. The year is 2004. What a great year for change. How can we make this change? Oh, let me think. Getting involved. Changing direction. And paying attention when things start happening. It's starting to fall apart. It's starting to crumble. It's glorious. People who worked with George W. Bush are now coming out and saying, what a farce this all is. And you know that's got to mean something. That's got to mean a lot. And I've seen this a couple of different times. I've seen a couple of different people. There was somebody on BBC last night who worked in the Reagan administration who was talking about how, yes, I'm a Republican, but no, I will vote for anybody except for Bush. When people say things like that, you know, you have to stand up and realize that there's change afoot. Necessary change. So it's kind of inspiring, and you have to pay attention. You have to know that these things are going on, and that the time to get involved, the time to be active, that time is now. Now, Paul O'Neill was George W. Bush's first Treasury Secretary, and he's somebody else who this week put out a book that reveals all kinds of interesting things, such as the fact that George W. Bush, no big surprise to me, and I'm sure not to very many of you, from the very beginning of his administration, was looking for an excuse to invade Iraq. We all knew it had nothing to do with September 11th. We all knew it had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. And everything that has happened in the last year has borne that out. Repeatedly. And yet so many people are just willing to ignore that, you know? Just willing to say, well, he could have done it someday. He could have built weapons of mass destruction. He could have posed a threat. And so, yeah, you know, it was worthwhile. Shut up. Stop asking questions. Yeah. They're on the defensive, big time. So let's not be nice about this. Let's not let this go. Let's not excuse this kind of behavior. This kind of thing is wrong. From the very beginning, there was a conviction that Saddam Hussein was a bad person and that he needed to go, Mr. O'Neill said in an interview with 60 Minutes. He was dismissed by Mr. Bush more than a year ago over differences on economic policy, but he said Iraq was discussed at the first National Security Council meeting after Mr. Bush's inauguration, and the tone at that meeting and others, according to O'Neill, was all about finding a way to do it, with no real questioning of why Mr. Hussein had to go or why it had to be done then. No questioning. For me, Mr. O'Neill said, the notion of preemption, that the U.S. has the unilateral right to do whatever we decide to do, is a really huge leap. The name of his book is called The Price of Loyalty. It was actually written by Ron Suskind, but Mr. O'Neill cooperated quite extensively in the book. Turned over 19,000 documents from his 2 years as Treasury Secretary. Of course, now that's turning into the big issue as to whether or not this guy turned over classified material. Should be pretty simple to find out if he did. But let's see how long that stays in the headlines and we lose track of what these documents are saying. We have every right to know these things. In the 23 months I was there, said Mr. O'Neill in an interview with Time magazine, I never saw anything that I would characterize as evidence of weapons of mass destruction. There were allegations and assertions by people, but I've been around a hell of a long time, and I know the difference between evidence and assertions and illusions or allusions and conclusions that one could draw from a set of assumptions. Wow. This guy should be writing rap. This is a damn good line. To me, there is a difference between real evidence and everything else, and I never saw anything in the intelligence that I would characterize as real evidence. Enough said. And add that to all the critics that were around before, but now you have people coming from the administration. Now you have people who worked with Reagan. You have to take it seriously when these people are concerned. Where is this going? Well, George W. Bush expressed an interest on going to Mars. I say we let him. He means, unfortunately, sending others to Mars. In what, 2018? No, 2018 was sending people to the moon. I don't get this at all. Okay, first of all, I'm very much in favor of the space program. I'm sick of people telling me that, we have to do things here on Earth before we can go into space. Nonsense! We've learned so much by going into space already. Things that have been beneficial to us. Satellite technology, all kinds of scientific breakthroughs have occurred because we went into space in the very, very limited way that we've done. So while you may not see the possibilities of going to another planet, you might not be able to get your mind around how that could possibly benefit us, and I can't either because I don't know. But I do know that sometimes going into the unknown yields things that are very beneficial. And education is always a good thing. And looking ahead is always a good thing. And exploring is always a good thing. And you know what? Things are never going to be right here on Earth. It's never going to be a perfect time to go. That's why we should always be going. I don't understand why we can't go to the moon tomorrow, because we've already been there, for God's sake. We've been there on 1960s technology. Do you realize that the computers that sent spacecraft to the moon are less powerful than the computers that we have in our homes? And now, can you imagine the kind of computing power that NASA has? We should be able to scrounge up some old metal, build some spacecraft, and just key in the coordinates, whatever it is they do. I don't know what they do, but I know they do something. They should be able to get this thing up off the ground in a matter of months. 2018. I can accept that as a date maybe to have humans land on Mars. And you do have to have humans land on Mars. Yeah, it's a lot cheaper to send robots. But humans have to experience this. Humans have to share this. Otherwise, what are we learning? We're just getting some cold scientific data, which is fine. But you need the human element as well. And I just wish that we had these kind of debates as to whether or not this is the time to do this about things like invasions. I constantly hear how much it's going to cost to send somebody to the moon. How much does it cost to send couple hundred thousand people to Iraq? You know? How come that never gets cut by the budget? Which is more beneficial to us? Ask yourself that question. Is it more beneficial to us to go to Iraq or to Mars? I think Mars has more for us than Iraq does. That's just me. Anyway, so, yeah, Bush actually surprised me with this. I'm kind of seeing through the rhetoric. It's something that's so far in the distance that he won't have to worry about the final outcome or the cost or anything like that. He can just pretty much quote grandiose speech and say that he wants to expand and go to other planets and things like that. Great. You know, I'm all for going to other planets. I'm really not convinced that Bush is the person to lead us there. try though he might. When Kennedy talked about this, we were on the moon less than a decade later, so I guess it makes a certain sort of sense that if Bush talks about it, it's going to take us 2 decades. But regardless, I think this is something that should be pushed, something that should be pushed a lot, and no matter who is in charge, no matter who is actually taking care of this. So, hey, there's no game tonight, is there? There is? Oh my god. Matt's here. Matt's here with the news that there's a game. Really? So it starts in what?
Starts in about 9 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be Stony Brook Seawolves women's basketball against Vermont. And that is live from Burlington. We have somebody up there, and he should be in touch with us momentarily.
Burlington, Vermont?
Burlington, Vermont. It's where it's Catamounts like, are. University of Vermont.
Negative 200 degrees up there.
It will be there that way here tomorrow. So.
Yeah, but he's there now, and yeah. I don't know.
But they like it up there. Otherwise, you know.
All right, well, then I guess the time to take phone calls is now.
Yeah, because that's the beauty of America.
Running
if you don't
out of
like the weather, move somewhere else.
Yeah, all right, that's one suggestion. Let's see if who's out there. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB. Exciting basketball action coming up in just about 9 minutes. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Matt.
Matt, I think this is your call.
Okay, yes.
I'm
going
to put this person on hold. Have him call the studio line. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing?
How you doing? What's up?
I have a couple quick issues to raise about the NASA program.
Okay, make them quick.
Well, the whole reason why the Challenger blew up was because the O-ring actually blew up, and this was because NASA subcontracted another corporation to create the O-ring.
And wasn't it the lowest bidder?
Yes, and the reason why the Challenger actually was launched is because of presidential and public pressure.
Uh-huh.
So this, in my opinion, is kind of crucial in the question of should we go to Mars.
Well, do you think they jumped the gun or they didn't put in enough money?
It wasn't about the money. It was about NASA as a program.
Uh-huh.
The whole question of Mars, in my opinion, is about the corporations which fund it. You know, is there a NASA anymore?
Yeah, it's a good point, you know, and I don't really care how we get there. If it's private enterprise that does it, it doesn't really bother me. I just want to, you know, start exploring. I want to start seeing more than what's here and start answering some questions as to the whole origin of the universe and where it goes and who else is out there.
Yeah, it's the opposite of destruction.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Missing element to unify humans, which is many people's goal and many intelligent people's goal in the world.
Yeah, and that's probably why it's doomed, but I think we should continue anyway and hopefully gain something out of it.
I agree.
All right, thanks for calling. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. If you're out there, we have about another 5 minutes left or so. The other thing that really annoys me is the whole... There's this moron going out there, this Congressman Lamar Smith, starting the Clean Airwaves Act. Prohibits 7 profane words in broadcast. Listen to this. Last year, this is his words here. Last year, during a live television broadcast of the Golden Globe Awards, performer Bono uttered a phrase that cannot be repeated here. It was not the only example of profane or indecent language on our nation's airwaves in 2003. The FCC has the authority to restrict indecency and obscenity, but in a surprising and nonsensical ruling, the FCC said the word Bono used was not indecent since it was used as an adjective. The FCC said that in similar circumstances, we have found that offensive language used as an insult rather than as a description of sexual or excretory activity or organs is not within the scope of the Commission's prohibition of indecent program content. As a result, the use of profane language was publicly aired and no action was taken to ensure it would not take place in the future. In response to this ruling, Congressman Doug Ose and I introduced the Clean Airwaves Act, which is designed to prohibit 7 profane words from being broadcast over America's airwaves. Those words are, since the FCC believes the law isn't strong enough to stop harmful, indecent, and profane language from being broadcast, we must strengthen the law. The legislation I support does not raise a constitutional issue. The Supreme Court has upheld the FCC's authority to regulate indecent broadcasts. In a 1978 decision, it specifically addressed broadcasting in the First Amendment. Unfortunately, the FCC has given television and radio stations too much power to broadcast any type of behavior or speech that they believe will bring in high ratings or advertising dollars. This undermines standards of common decency, harms the ability of parents to raise their children free from profane language, and leads to a further deterioration of our culture. We must protect our children from obscene, indecent, and profane language on television and radio broadcast. Parents should not have to cover their children's eyes and ears every time they turn on the TV. Jesus Christ! I am so sick of these zealots out there that try to make us live by their narrow standards. You know, and after traveling around the world and seeing how other people do things and hearing those same words, I realize that is not the issue in any sense. On the airplane I took over, which was Virgin Atlantic, they actually let you pick the film you want to see. And I mentioned this on the other radio program, that I saw this film called Young Adam. All right, it's about this womanizing British guy. And in that film, on that airplane, I saw the first female nipple I've ever seen on an airplane, on the screen. And I also heard profane language, and I even saw male frontal nudity, all on an airplane. And you know what? Other people did too. It was their choice. And they survived. And in other countries, they show those things too, and people survive. Just last night, I was watching Canadian television, CBC. Great program. This hour has 22 minutes. It's kind of like Saturday Night Live. They were talking about this this person who was had a heart attack on an airplane that happened to have a bunch of heart surgeons on board going to a conference, and how she was saved by all these doctors. And the punchline was that two rows back, this guy had a brain aneurysm, and he was S out of luck. I can't say the word. They did on a national broadcast on the governmental TV station. And you know what? People survived. In this country, it's a big deal. In this country, we have idiots going around saying we must not say these words. And then you have people on the opposition that have no guts and don't stand up and fight this kind of thing. Listen to this. This is from the publication I took from Virgin Atlantic Airlines. I don't know if I was supposed to do this. So I took it anyway because this was so cool. I just wanted to read this. This is a note from their at the bottom of their film page. What does that mean? Oh, that's for me? Okay. Great, thank you. I don't know if I have time to take it, though. Are we going right at 50?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got to read this really quickly. Ewan McGregor is not a happy man. The company releasing Young Adam in the States, that's the film I saw, has decided to remove a key part in one of his scenes. As the man says himself, if you want to see my penis, you'll have to fly to Britain. Not that he finds it funny. Pointing to the horrific violence that comes out of U.S. cinema, he said, if I'd blown away 5,000 people with a machine gun, that would be fine, but I showed my penis. And if you doubt him, check today's in-flight movies. I love this airline. They get it, and he gets it, and most of the world gets it. Unfortunately, we don't get it. Also, unfortunately, we're out of time. So, basketball action coming up next. We'll be back again next week with a full hour, or is there another game next week? Full hour next week. We'll see you then tomorrow night on Off the Hook. Sorry to those we didn't get to. OTW at 2600.com. See ya.
There's no way out of here when you come in. You're in for good. There was no promise made. The part you played, the chance you took. There are no boundaries set. The time and yet you wasted still. Like grains of sand, you watch it go. There's no time to be lost. You'll pay the cost, so get it right. There's no way out of here when you come in. You're in for good. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Sherry Jordan of the University at Stony Brook Women's Basketball Team, and you're listening to Division I Seawolves Women's Basketball on WUSB 90.1 FM.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another evening of Stony Brook Seawolves basketball. Tonight it's the women against the Catamounts of the University of Vermont, and Ray Alexander is standing by up in Burlington with all the action. Ray?
All right, thank you, Matt. Here from Patrick Gymnasium at the University of Vermont, it's Stony Brook women's basketball here on WUSB. Once again, welcome, everybody. I'm Ray Alexander. You have me on loan tonight from the Seawolves Radio Network up here for tomorrow night's men's game, but since no USB crew can come up here, more than happy to join you tonight for tonight's game here against the University of Vermont. Going over some of the America East standings, well, the Stony Brook women find themselves ahead of the University of Vermont, if you can believe that. At their 2-9 start, they are 1-1 in the America East Conference, as the University of Vermont started the season off 6-4. However, they are 0-2 against America East opponents. Last week, the reason they are 0-2 is because Vermont lost at Maine 66-54, as the Black Bear women continue to cruise in the America East. They are out to a 2-0 start. Also, the game before, a 62-58 loss against Northeastern. On the other hand, the Stony Brook women fell to 1-1 because of their loss on Saturday against New Hampshire, 63-56. They did pick up a win at UMBC, 53-49. That was on Wednesday night, and that's why the women are 1-1. Today, the only women's game in the America East Conference is here as Stony Brook visits Vermont. All the rest will go on tomorrow and Thursday. The standings in the America East Conference, there are four teams at 2-0 starts. Hartford, Northeastern, Maine, and New Hampshire are all out to an undefeated 2-0 start. Two teams at 1-1, they are Binghamton and Stony Brook. And then four teams at 0-2 marks, Vermont, Boston University, Albany, and Maryland, Baltimore County, have all started at 0-2. The women trying to bounce back from their loss on Saturday, where they find themselves down early in the second half, double digits down, ended up making a comeback of sorts, got the score down to within a possession or two before again falling behind New Hampshire and ended up ultimately losing that game. They ended up picking up a win against UMBC, their first ever conference matchup against the University of Maryland Baltimore County Retrievers. That's why they're 1-0. And Trish Roberts looks to get this team off to a fine start, as what could be better for a confidence booster than winning at UVM, which they are today, a small crowd expected because of partly the weather conditions. It snowed earlier in the day, but now what we've been heard from the weather reports that the temperatures may get down anywhere between 15 and 30 degrees below zero during the course of this evening and into early tomorrow morning. So the weather conditions unfavorable, and you can be thankful that this game is indoors rather than having basketball played outside, because it is absolutely frigid out here in northern Vermont, maybe about 20 minutes or so from the Canadian border. Vermont comes into this game against Stony Brook losing their last two at Northeastern and at Maine, but before that they started 6-2 against their non-conference opponents. Those two losses were at home right here against Vanderbilt, and then at the University of Massachusetts they picked up wins against St. Francis, Yale, Colgate, William & Mary, Central Connecticut, and Rider. As for the Stony Brook Seawolves, they were 1-8 to start their non-conference game, but when you look at it, their win against Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, their only easy team on the schedule, they are supposed to beat the easy teams, they did, 83-66. But when you look down the line at their other non-conference games, you could just wonder how they managed to just stay alive in some of these games. St. Bonaventure of the Atlantic 10, Delaware from the Colonial Athletic, St. Louis from Conference USA, Providence out of the Big East, Fordham out of the 8-10, St. Joe's out of the 8-10, Charlotte out of Conference USA, and Harvard out of the Ivy League. And Harvard may be in the top half of the Ivy League, if not a potential winner of that Ivy League this year. So a lot of tough non-conference opponents. That's why the women's team looked strong against New Hampshire at times. They were able to beat UMBC, and you should get a decent showing out of them today here against the University of Vermont. When we come back, we will take a further look in depth at this game. This is Stony Brook Women's Basketball here on WUSB.
WUSB 90.1 FM presents the Tuesday Night Rock and Roll Dance Party. Whether you're canting around to the rock and rollies of the 50s, stomping with the garage punks of the 60s, or tearing it up with today's modern maulers, plan to make the scene. Listen every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. until the midnight hour, right here on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stone.
Is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
Back here at Patrick Gymnasium, Stony Brook Seawolves taking on the Vermont Catamounts. Vermont hosts Stony Brook in the American East Women's Basketball matchup tonight, and the Catamounts are looking for their first league win of the year, while Stony Brook wants to post the second conference win. As we mentioned earlier, Vermont enters with a 6-4 overall record and 0-2 in the American East. Catamounts dropped their 66-54 decision to Maine Saturday, started 0-2 for the first time since 1994-1995. Stony Brook, however, have a 1-1 mark because of their loss, we said, and they enter this contest 2-9 overall. The last time Vermont took the court, we mentioned, was a loss against the Maine Black Bears, and that's a rivalry up here in the New England area between these two teams. The Catamounts have won each of the four all-time meetings between these two teams, including an 87-52 win last year, and the teams met on March 8th was the last time these two teams came out and played against each other. Vermont returns three starters and nine letter winners from a team that went 21-8 and advanced to the American East semifinals a year ago. The Catamounts are led by their senior forward, Aaron Yossi, who ranks in the American East with 20.5 points a game as well as 10.8 rebounds per game. So she already averages, going into this game, a double-double for every time she takes the court. Vermont has lost both of its league games, as we mentioned time and time again. When you go back to the game the other night that the Stony Brook Seawolves played, or I should say Saturday afternoon, not at night, they got some production from a lot of the players that they haven't been during the course of the year, one of which with Sherry Jordan. Sherry Jordan has her points per game up to just under 10.5 per game, shooting now up to 33%. She had struggled early on. They do, however, have to get production from other people along the floor. We mentioned on the Seawolves radio network on Saturday, the game that we had called on AM, Kurt Hilton and myself, that the Seawolves have four players in the game that went a combined 1-for-28 from the floor. Now, Trish Roberts knows that that can't happen. Otherwise, this team will not win another game. You need senior leadership, and your seniors have to hit shots. 1-of-28 from a combined four different players on the floor, four players that you want to go to help win a game. Teresa Loparino, Danielle DiGiorio, they have to all step up and help this Seawolves team not only make baskets, but get pressure off of other players like Sherry Jordan, who started coming out of her slump hitting shots. But if she's going to be the only one hitting shots, this team is going to struggle, and they are going to need, here today and in future, American East Conference games, especially when you go up and play teams like Maine here against Vermont. You're going to have to take your team up there with the best chance they have to win, and you're not going to win games shooting 1-of-27 from the floor with your four go-to players. Jessica Smith had a decent game. She started all 11 games for Stony Brook, averaging just under 11 points per game, shooting 44% from the field. Other players that have stepped up have well this season. Akeem Ford averaging over 10 points a game, shooting 48%. We do have some good news from the injury front for the Seawolves. Kelly Watson, who's been out with a knee injury, has been cleared to go, maybe able to play next week. She is in street clothes, but they are saying she may be able to get back in uniform and get into some games next week. So right now, we'll take our final break before the start of today's game. So again, you're listening to Stony Brook University women's basketball here on WUSB.